Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to the Early Line. Live right here on SportsGrid on an absolute freezing Tuesday morning. There's snowy to be found here in this studio. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Rideside, who I assume he probably has the AC on in his own home studio anyways. He's probably breathing the cold just like I am. What's the word, DRS?
Don't worry. I'll heat the show up with many hot takes that are going to come over the next 2 hours here, Kevin. Don't you worry. That studio is going to be blazing with everything here. But we are ready to get it popping here because we are so close to the NFL playoffs. Last night, a sayonara to Big Ben. And not the greatest game overall, but the Steelers still in the playoff hunt here, Kevin.
It's incredible because they're still in the playoff hunt. No one really thinks they can get there. And also, Ben hasn't like officially said, I'm done. But last night, Ben, last home game as a Pittsburgh Steelers, certainly, I don't think he's going to play anywhere else. It's all kind of weird. The Steelers get the job done, though, on Monday night. Football 26-14. And Big Ben with a game that doesn't represent his whole career, but certainly the back end of it. He threw the football 46 times for a whopping 123 yards. Still good enough, though, Donnie, to beat Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hey, you have a stellar passer rating last night of 56.3. And why he won the game? Because Baker Mayfield had an even equally stellar one at 53.1. Terrible quarterbacking. But at this time of the year, when you're trying to make the playoffs, all that matters is a win, no matter how ugly it was. And we were looking at some of those statistics. Mm-hmm. He threw 46 times in this game. Most of the time, a quarterback that throws 46 times, he's probably approaching 400 yards. Not this one. 123 yards? That is amazing to me.
And again, if you thought Big Ben was bad, Baker Mayfield threw two picks again. His touchdowns were completely unimpressive. And he was sacked 9 times, 4 of those belonging to TJ Watt. Not only locking up the defensive player of the year last night, Donnie, but one sack away from tying Michael Strahan's single season record, 1.5 away from becoming the all-time single season sack leader.
Certainly impressive. And how about on the last game of the year? Maybe Brett Favre has a little bit of energy left in the tank here where he can play for the Baltimore Ravens. And if TJ Watt needs a sack, he can give it to him and just basically roll right into there and just slide down like Michael Strahan got that. Got that last final sack about, 20 years now feels like at this point. But it is an impressive performance here. TJ, also keep in mind, yes, it is a 17-game season, but he was injured for a couple of those games. That guy is an animal at defensive end.
Tremendous from TJ Watt. Don is absolutely right to add the clarifier. He did miss a couple games, so if/when he breaks this, it won't be because of a 17-game season, which Steelers fans will tell you ad nauseum. Just know, Reggie White, 21 sacks, 12 games, better than all of this other nonsense. But that's okay. TJ's going to run away with Defensive Player of the Year. Speaking of the Eagles, rocked by COVID. Essentially, Donnie takes any chance that they're going to push full go against Dallas in week 18. And they are now a touchdown dog at home with all of the latest news.
Yeah, and it looks like, yeah, you're right. If the Eagles had any grandeurs of we're going to play a lot of starters in this game to stay sharp for the playoffs, that was certainly taking the wind out of the sails. Now, the only interesting thing is here, because can't get a clear read on exactly the protocols in the NFL. Is it we're only testing Monday, and if anybody else just says, hey, I don't feel good, we'll test you? Or do we get more tests today because there's an outbreak on the Eagles? Could we get testing as late as Friday or Saturday? That's what I don't know here. But if you got 12 guys that are positive, it's a pretty good chance that you have even more, Kevin, that are positive as well coming right behind that.
We'll talk more about those Week 18 lines coming up here, of course, throughout our 2 hours. Let's bring the radio audience into the fold. We appreciate all those who've tuned into the early line on Sports Grid Radio and really all of the Sports Grid platforms on this Monday morning. Switching over to the NBA, Donnie, a really interesting night in the association. The Grizzlies beat the Brooklyn Nets 118-104 due to Ja Morant's fourth consecutive game with 30 or more points. He had 36 and was a game-best plus 24 in 34 minutes of work.
Yeah, Grizzlies had the lead at the half and then dropped 40 in the third quarter alone here for a 118-104 victory. You would have thought it would be the opposite roles here, right? 118-104 for the Nets. Not the case here. Nice win for the Grizzlies, an up-and-coming basketball team, Kevin. And you know how you beat the Nets on their home court? Have one of your starters not get a single point, Kevin. Do you know who that guy was last night for those Brooklyn
Yeah,
Nets?
I sure do. Yeah, Patty Mills can absolutely hit the road. Evidently, he's broken. I'll also just let people know, the Nets by far and away, yes, this includes the Lakers, the worst home team against the number. I think they've covered 3 home games all season long. It's absolutely putrid. Also, they can't beat good teams. It's pretty bad. They also lost to a good team recently, the Philadelphia 76ers. Well, the Sixers had a big performance last night, 133-113 against the Houston Rockets. Joel Embiid goes out there, Donnie, with a triple-double.
Yeah, impressive performance there, easily putting away the Rockets, who seem to have some internal issues going on, but that didn't help out their cause in that game as they lost by 20 points. Sensational game by Joel Embiid with the 31 points, 15 boards, and 10 assists. And also, a guy named Georges Niang, Kevin, actually dropped 2 threes. I wonder if that helped anybody or hurt anybody out there last night.
It just depends if you were able to get in or not. Timing is everything.
Where's my location? Where's my location?
Yeah, I have no idea. We need to verify that immediately. Let's do it right now. I'll do it in the middle of the show as well. Another wild performance in the NBA. Trae Young, 56 points, 14 assists, 37 minutes, plus 10. They lose to the Portland Trail Blazers, who do not have Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum, Donnie.
Amazing. If you take a look at Trae Young here, it's 56 points, and those guys didn't play. Say, what did they win by? 45 points? No, they actually lost outright.
Horrid. Also, Johnny Davis, player of the year favorite. They upset Purdue on the road. Come right back to the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday Night Football, the last Monday Night Football of the regular season. Interesting qualifier, right? But we will actually be getting Monday Night Football in the NFL playoffs, which will be really, really interesting to see how that all does land. The Steelers win this game 26-14. All in all, I think Browns backers have to be a little upset that at one point this flipped all the way to there were some Browns plus threes out there, and it closed actually with the Browns as favorites once again. Before they were eliminated from the postseason, the Browns were actually better than a field goal favorite. So another situation, Donnie, where we saw some really wild line movement here, but none of it mattered. The Steelers covered everything. No Browns teasers were through the door. And the Steelers get the job done here 26-14, and they live to see another day.
No, they do. And we're going to go over some playoff scenarios here for the Steelers in just a few moments. But let's take a look at the game and how it encapsulated and came out. Saved myself actually a little bit of money, Kevin. You know me. I'm not a big side bettor here. But last night I said to myself, I like the Cleveland Browns. I think the Cleveland Browns have a legitimate chance to win this game. And I think it's going to be, one of those sloppier games. But still had a chance to get over the 43.5 because I thought Cleveland would open up their playbook a little bit. But thank goodness that line never got to 3 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. So I didn't place a wager, even though I thought Cleveland had a legitimate chance. But I'm saying to myself, this line gets to 3, we're in. And as we were on In Play Sports Tonight, the 2.5s turned into the twos into the 1.5s, and slowly flipped over to a favorite, which was incredible to see. And I actually agreed with the line movement here, but I was wrong on my analysis of the game where the Cleveland Browns would say, hey, let's go out and execute, and, you know, Pittsburgh will struggle on offense, which they did, but Cleveland just didn't execute at all in the first half, getting shut out on the road in Pittsburgh. But this game is more about the two futures of this team for me, Kevin. Let's take a look at it, you know, just a few segments. We'll talk about where Baker Mayfield might end up, but certainly not a glorious season. And if we rewind the tapes back here on the early line over the summer and doing some AFC North stuff, I said to myself, and also on the show, I think Cleveland's the most talented team in the division. If they stay healthy, they will be able to win this. Now, did they stay healthy? Not necessarily, but a lot of teams across the league had struggled with COVID and injuries. And this team looks like they are going to finish, Kevin, dead last in the AFC North. Nobody could have anticipated that. This was supposed to be a team on the come up here, not on the come down. Then the Pittsburgh Steelers doing what they do, right? Good organization, just win football games. Another non-losing season for the Steelers, but it looks like they also might end up out of the playoffs as well.
Look, and as you mentioned, we'll do all the Browns breakdowns about where they're going, especially at the quarterback position. But for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Donnie, it really is appropriate, I think, for us to appreciate this run for Big Ben and Mike Tomlin and this Steelers organization. Big Ben took over in 2004. They went 15-1 with a rookie quarterback, and they never had a losing season. Impossibly get the tie this year against the Detroit Lions, like, instead of a loss, to ensure that they actually can somehow finish 500. And that level of consistency is so difficult to replicate in the NFL, right? It's why the Patriots have put that distance between themselves and anybody else in terms of dynasties within the NFL. But they did it at, you know, a higher level, I think, than the Steelers team, and that's fair to say. But Big Ben, he's done. It's very obvious. You don't do everything that happened last night if he was not done, Donnie. The things that they need to get to the postseason are difficult because it requires the Colts to lose to the worst team in the NFL in the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that's just really difficult to see coming true. But Donnie, when Big Ben's done, people will do the Hall of Fame debate. I kind of think he'll end up getting in when it's all said and done. But you have to appreciate the consistency here that we've seen with Big Ben during his entire tenure as a Pittsburgh Steeler.
You're right. And, you know, 18 years in the NFL, so no simple feat here. He's played a long time. And sometimes you just get used to players and their position. Like Big Ben, like you could say, hey, what's he in, like his sixth or seventh year? That's what it feels like. He's been around so long, but you're just so used to him being like, oh, he's got another couple years left in the tank. And let's also remember, you know, the Steelers and their crossovers, I like to say. You brought up 2004, which I remember that season fondly. You know, Philadelphia Eagles got to the Super Bowl against the Patriots. Why? It was close to a keystone Super Bowl because the Steelers got all the way to the AFC Championship game at home and got beat by the New England Patriots there. He was great that year, but he didn't have to do a lot. That nasty Steelers defense, handing the football off, you know, that's, I believe Deuce Staley was on that team with Jerome Bettis, I want to say, even back in the day. They were a very good team, but it started in 04, and we're sitting here today in 2022, and he's still playing football in the NFL. But the evolution of the Steelers and Big Ben, right? You had those wide receivers back in the day with the Plaxico Burreses, the Hines Ward, transitioned over to the Antonio Browns. It was an air show for quite a bit here in Pittsburgh, where we see that now, and you know, Father Time, outside of Tom Brady, always catches up to you. Big Ben used to air it out, go downfield, and now you're taking a look at a team that runs five wideout sets to throw the football behind the line of scrimmage, just trying to make it to the finish line here. Big Ben knows this is his final season and his final run here. I would be stunned. Let's just say also, you want to play devil's advocate, Kevin, on this game here? Steelers win this game. For some reason, Carson Wentz and the Colts get hit with another wave of COVID, and Jacksonville's like, hey, this is like the Buffalo Bills game. We're going to win 9-6, and they actually get into the playoffs. What happens if they make the playoffs here? Is there a cry for Big Ben to come back, or Big Ben say, hey, you know what? I made the playoffs this year. We can do it one more season. You don't have an actual quarterback in the waiting here. I can do it. It can't happen like that because it just seems like it's, you know, stuck, you know, sticky tape together here at the end of the season. Like, hey, let's just get Big Ben through it. Maybe we'll win a football game or two and we'll see what happens. But they can't run this back. But it would be interesting to see if they did make the playoffs, if those thoughts come out of the Pittsburgh Steelers front office.
You know, and that's kind of the other transition point here, right? Big Ben, you know, fifth all-time passing yards, eighth all-time passing touchdowns. Yeah. But this game, he finishes with 123 yards on 46 attempts. You know what's interesting, Donnie? is the game they tied against the Detroit Lions. He didn't play. It was Mason Rudolph. Mm-hmm. And you notice how no one has ever really brought up, oh, that would have been a win with Big Ben? Because there really isn't a great belief that it would have been a win with Big Ben. Big Ben, 20th in passer rating of qualified quarterbacks, 25th in QBR of qualified quarterbacks. Big Ben is a legend of the sport, is a bad quarterback. And the Pittsburgh Steelers were not going to be able to reach their peak this season with Big Ben as their quarterback. But Donnie, that's now been true for a little while now, as TJ Watt is about to run away with Defensive Player of the Year after a masterful job in the Minka Fitzpatrick trade that they ultimately made with the Miami Dolphins. And a head coach, Donnie, and Mike Tomlin, while absolutely tied to the success of Big Ben during that 2019 season, where they started 0-2, by the way, with Ben playing basically the first game and a half of the season, still found a way to give you an 8-8 year with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges manning the quarterback position. Big Ben had a great run. But mercifully for Steelers fans, Donnie, it's going to end on a bit of a high note here. Everybody that wears and represents the black and gold is secretly sighing of relief that he is done, because now they have a chance to get some legitimate quarterback play moving forward.
No, you're right about it. And also, you know, sometimes change is bad, but change is always optimistic for fans, because you always think the grass is greener on the other side. You say, hey, Big Ben, boy, he's run out the string here. Well, I don't know who we have, but I would like to see what our future is going to be. Are we going to make a trade in the offseason, go draft another quarterback? Because it worked out pretty well last time you drafted your franchise guy, number 11 overall, out of Miami, Ohio, and it was Big Ben, and he had that 18-year run. You can only be so lucky to draft a quarterback in the first round and maybe get him to play 5 to 7 years with your franchise, even at a decent level. So it'll be interesting to see where the future goes. But I don't think the Steelers planned all that much for Big Ben leaving, which is why this year they said, hey, if you want to come back, you're going to have to take a massive pay cut. And Big Ben's like, oh, I'll take it here, because you know why? You have nobody else that's even going to confront me in training camp to say, I'm going to be the starting quarterback. So he almost came back at that discount price knowing that he was going to get a full year to play. And he did. And it's good that they got the send off there. You beat the Cleveland Browns. If he would have thrown for 123 yards and you lost 26-14, maybe a little bit different vibe in the stadium.
It's a good point, though, by you. It's not always a world where you draft quarterbacks in the first round or maybe even first overall, and they last a decade. Sometimes barely even maybe half a decade. After a quick break right here on Sports Grid, Donnie and I will break down Baker Mayfield and his future with the Cleveland Browns. That's next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, Kevin Walsh from Donnie Wrightside reacting to Monday Night Football. And we talked about Big Ben, somewhat of kind of, you know, the career that was, and certainly the situation that it is for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have a puncher's chance at making the postseason the thing. Like, they need to beat the Ravens next week. There's certainly no guarantee that that even happens. But at least the Steelers have their postseason hopes alive, which is more than you can say for the Cleveland Browns. 7-9 now. At one point, actually, we talked on this show about a live win total for them, priced at 8.5. Some plus money being offered to the under, and the under being a winner. The thing, though, is people could say, hey, that maybe would have gone over had they had Baker Mayfield against the Vegas Raiders. Maybe so. It also probably would have gone over if Baker Mayfield didn't throw 4 interceptions against the Green Bay Packers. Maybe that number would have never existed if Baker Mayfield could actually work with one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL in Odell Beckham Jr., who has been unbelievable as long as he's not playing with Baker Mayfield. Donnie, the sights were high for this Cleveland team, supposed to compete for this division, this conference, and maybe a Super Bowl. And they are the only team in the AFC North who has no chance to make the postseason going into the final week of action. They will finish last in the AFC North, despite the fact that they were supposed to legitimately compete for this conference. Your reaction right now to the state of the Cleveland Browns?
It went from a high and like sort of a crest coming into the season where you were ready to take over this division. You get a playoff win last year against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you come into this year and fortify that team. Because let's start like the opening day roster. Maybe the best overall offensive line in the entire NFL. Couple of decent tight ends. You have Odell Beckham on one side, still trying to work through some things and come back from injury, but maybe another year works as a charm here. Jarvis Landry on the opposite side, and a couple other young wide receivers in the mix here that can certainly stretch the field and get downfield. Then you take a look at the defense. A young secondary, which is a lot of high draft picks involved in that. Athletic linebackers and a devastating pass rush led by the guy who's probably the leader in the clubhouse, I believe, Kevin, I think, to start the season at the FanDuel Sportsbook to be the, you know, the defensive player of the year, and that was Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. And nothing turned out well. Now, yes, you had a lot of injuries. And when your quarterback goes down with multiple injuries to throwing shoulders and chests, it never works out in your favor, because when you're talking about surgery like 4 weeks into the season and it's not going to get better and you have to learn to live with it and play with it with a shoulder harness, things don't work out well. But you can't take that into account when you start the season, because the expectations were extremely high. This was a team that was supposed to challenge for the division, but also one of those teams, Kevin, where you look at it at the beginning of the season and say, okay, let's take out Kansas City. Let's take out Tampa Bay. You know, Green Bay is going to be in the mix here. The Rams will be in the mix, but who's that next tier here? And right away it came to me. It's the Cleveland Browns if they stay healthy and you get a decent season out of Baker Mayfield. Kevin, we're not talking about, hey, I need 38 touchdowns and 10 interceptions or less out of you here to make sure Cleveland runs. This team was so talented on the offensive line and the running back position. It was almost if you said, hey, Baker, you have a keys to the Ferrari here. Just drive at the speed limit and we are going to do some really big things. And he went 90 to 100 miles an hour in ice and drove it right off the cliff here. And that's where you're seeing them not making the playoffs. What would be interesting to see also is the offseason, what happens with Baker Mayfield, but even more so, Kevin, sometimes we have those buy low points of NFL teams and franchises where you said, okay, they were supposed to do big things in 2021. Maybe they reset at the quarterback position. Is there value on the Cleveland Browns coming into it next year, or can it be a complete reset, which I don't believe is the case here. There's a lot of young talent on that team. This can't be one of those teams where you blow it up. There's way too much talent, and you just need a competent quarterback here, Kevin.
And that's the most concerning thing is this isn't a team right now, Donnie, where you go through hole after problem after issue. No. It all starts with number six. Baker Mayfield, since he arrived in Cleveland, has been the star of the show, the point of contention, and nothing has changed. And Baker Mayfield, in his rookie season, Donnie, in only 14 games, threw 27 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. Those 27 touchdowns, Donnie, a single-season rookie record until Justin Herbert broke it in his rookie season. He then followed that up with 22 touchdowns and 21 picks. Massive sophomore regression that was quite surprising. But then the bounce-back season. 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. They go to the postseason. They win a postseason game. And that is where a lot of people thought that this team now was on the right trajectory. Their elimination of the postseason came at Arrowhead in an absolute battle against the Kansas City Chiefs. And Baker has followed this year up with 17 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. Baker Mayfield certainly has been injured a lot of this season. There's no doubt about that. But is that enough, Donnie, to salvage everything that's gone on here? The idea that is Baker playing with a broken shoulder? Has it been malpractice by this Browns organization to constantly be throwing him out there week in and week out to fight through all of this? That perhaps can be up for debate. But the biggest issue that I believe Baker Mayfield is running into, as you mentioned there, is I don't really know if this Browns team and this front office feels like they have time to figure out if Baker is the guy anymore, Donnie. I just don't think that's true, because Baker Mayfield versus Odell Beckham Jr. was a real thing, and Baker Mayfield really lost that battle. And that isn't going to sit great with a Jarvis Landry. That's not going to sit great with a Myles Garrett. And then Kareem Hunt and his father, a similar situation, blasting Baker Mayfield. And you have to start to ask yourself, Donnie, does Baker Mayfield even have this locker room? Because if the play is questionable and the leadership is questionable, then really there are no more questions to be had about whether he's the guy moving forward.
Yeah, and he also has, you know, a big head at this point, because you're talking about a guy who won a Heisman Trophy, who was the number one overall pick, was supposed to be the salvation of Cleveland, has that solid rookie season. The sky is the limit. A good young team moving forward. And you know, you view him on the locker room as he has to be that guy that's going to lead you to victory, and you're not seeing that now. Now, I know you can lean on the injuries and what do you want him to do. He's gutting it out, and that's a gutsy performance. But we don't grade it upon that. You know, in the NFL, Kevin, if you are on the field playing, injuries go out the window here. You're out there because you say you're healthy enough to play football, not because I'm going to try to manage the game out here. You're supposed to win football games and win big football games. And also it comes at that point where he wants to get paid big money, right? So he's coming into this. It was almost a perfect storm for Baker Mayfield, where you can't doubt this kid anymore. Did you see us last year start to play well? This thing's going in the right direction. We won a playoff game. We went out to Arrowhead and challenged him. And if you remember, Kevin, opening week of the NFL season, Browns should have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs on the road in Arrowhead, and they weren't able to do it with that second half collapse. And right there, he said, oh, man, they're still right there on the top with the AFC contenders here. And then the bottom fell out on the season overall. There's way too much talent on this team. And the original point I brought up here, Kevin, it's one thing if, you know, let's equate it to two franchises, right? The New York Giants with Daniel Jones out on injury. Oh, looks like we might bring him back. That's a different scenario. Why? Because Daniel Jones is going to come back to still see if he can play. But that team stinks. What did you want Daniel Jones to do? You don't look at it the same way with the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns' expectations for 2021 were, let's get to the playoffs and win a few playoff games. The Giants' expectation was, let's just see what we have, and maybe Daniel Jones can be a quarterback. Two completely different scenarios. The Cleveland Browns are built to win, and I don't think Baker Mayfield can win with them.
And yeah, it's probably just that simple, right? And I think the other, you talk about, the issues, Donnie, that Baker's going to run into trying to hold this job down. It's not like Cleveland's options are Dalton, Fitzpatrick, and Teddy Bridgewater. Aaron Rodgers might ask out of Green Bay. Russell Wilson will ask out of Seattle. You're going to have Jimmy Garoppolo on the list. You're going to have Kirk Cousins as a potential name. And as there was some scuttlebutt yesterday, Donnie, on the internet, it looks like Deshaun Watson is going to get his legal issues sorted out. And bringing him in to be your franchise quarterback for any organization is going to be met with backlash, unquestionably. But Donnie, we've seen this throughout sports. There's a reason why Antonio Brown was even afforded the opportunity to throw his uniform into the crowd. Because at the end of the day, we know this to be true. In the sports world, talent wins out. And Deshaun Watson, the last time we saw him, led the NFL in passing yards. Deshaun Watson was a top five player at the position. And Donnie, if Deshaun Watson can maintain that level and is a Cleveland Brown next year, they're favorites to win the AFC North.
Absolutely, and probably favorite to do a lot of damage, because you're also looking at, you know, superstars like to play with other superstars. So you say Jarvis Landry, hey, we just lost Odell Beckham Jr. Who's to say another free agent wide receiver is going to, whoa, look at this offensive line, this running game. The play action pass game is going to be sensational. I got to find myself in Cleveland. That would be a major move, because if you just replace Baker Mayfield with Deshaun Watson, injuries or no injuries, that offense would still move the football and be pretty good, and maybe you can lean on defense here. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the offseason where Baker Mayfield lands. Like, you know, does he go to the Houston Texans, the Denver Broncos? There's a plethora of bad teams looking for one of those jump off point quarterbacks to say, let's see what you have. Similar to what you saw with, you know, Sam Darnold going from the New York Jets down to the Carolina Panthers. He'll find the job, because you're right. Number one draft picks, number one overall a couple years ago, they'll find their way in the league, because teams always say, hey, he was a former number one pick. Let's see if it works here.
That quarterback carousel is getting ready to spin, and I cannot wait to watch that play out. But we have a lot more that needs to play out this year, including, of course, Week 18 in the NFL. We'll do our early line segment in hour number two. But first, let's set up the postseason picture, the conference odds, and where the value is here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. Hot or Not takes pause today. We'll be back Hot or Not tomorrow. I really just want to set up the NFL playoff picture right now. Who is still in the mix? What do teams need? And more importantly, where does the value lie right now? Especially if you look in the respective conference championship markets. We've talked AFC all morning long. We can get back to the AFC, but I want to transition to the NFC to give that a little bit of love. In terms of the NFC right now, six of the seven spots are solidified. Only eight teams still with a, or I guess really two teams fighting for one final spot in the Niners or the Saints. But there's still a lot up for grabs, including the NFC West. And I want to start there quickly, Donnie. The Los Angeles Rams are currently the two seed in the NFC. The opportunity is theirs to maintain that spot, win this division. And I think, you know, at times we've been rightfully critical. At least I know I have of this team. But a 13-4 year is nothing to be argued with. They are currently plus 450 to win the NFC. The Arizona Cardinals, Donnie, who could then likely have to go to Dallas in their opening round game, are a plus 850. When you look at these two teams, you look at their numbers, the path to get where they want to go, do either of these teams interest you at their current numbers to win the NFC?
Not necessarily for me. Like, if I take a look just at the NFC West overall, we're talking about one of the strongest divisions in football here, and maybe if, you know, Seattle stayed healthy throughout the season with Russell Wilson, maybe you would have four teams knocking on the door to get into the playoffs, but you don't have that. But you're right. You're seeing sort of some, you know, flaws in the Los Angeles Rams per se, where you were hoping they'd be a little bit farther ahead of the game on offense, but that happens through injuries to either running back position to even Robert Woods going down. Because if you remember, it wasn't a reactionary move, Kevin, for the Rams to get Odell Beckham because Robert Woods got injured. Odell Beckham Jr. was supposed to be the third wide receiver on that football team. Can you imagine how well he's assimilated to that team, Odell Beckham Jr., with Robert Woods on the outside and also with Cooper Kupp? Devastating combo. And it's why we like teams like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC when they had their big three at wide receiver. So it changes it a little bit. I like the fact that Arizona went on the road and beat the Dallas Cowboys, sort of to say, hey, look, we're a talented football team. We could take this show on the road. And quite frankly, they play better on the road than they do at home. But overall, if I'm looking from a price point here on the Rams, plus 450, Arizona Cardinals at a plus 850, I actually would lean towards the Arizona Cardinals at the 850 price more than I would the Los Angeles Rams at the 450, even though I think the Rams are a better team. But price points say differently here because nobody's really getting a huge advantage here other than playing maybe a game or two at home. Mm-hmm. There is no bye week here. And I think a lot of teams in the NFC now, with Tampa Bay getting injured at wide receiver, there's a lot of chances for some of these other teams like the Arizona Cardinals now to rise up at a good price here and take down the NFC.
Here's what I think is also really interesting, though, and we'll be able to expand on this again within our early line segment and you know, throughout the week, of course, right? But for the Cardinals, Donnie, they're going to have to watch that scoreboard, right, in that Rams-Niners game. And if the Rams have themselves a phenomenal first half, say, against San Francisco, all right, Kyler, that's enough. We're going to Dallas. We kind of know what it is. Come on out. But they might have to play that whole way through. And then the bye week is a little bit, you know, can you create a bye week for yourself, right, is kind of that question. Here's the other thing, and we'll talk about this in the AFC as well, Donnie, that I'm super interested in. But betting on teams that are no guarantee to make the postseason. The Niners right now are 19-1, and the New Orleans Saints are 55-1. To make the postseason. And that Saints number intrigues me greatly. The path for the Saints to get to the postseason is really simple. beat the Atlanta Falcons, and the Rams beat the Niners. And the Rams are almost a touchdown favorite. The numbers actually trickle down to a 5. The Saints are certainly favored in their football game. So if results hold, the Saints get in. Donnie, we can talk about how much of a chance you would give the Saints to beat the Rams, which would be the matchup that they would have, you know, assuredly, if kind of those things play out. But a 55-1 number has to pique the interest a little.
I mean, it does, because it's a huge number. But as we like to say, Kevin, a huge number is there for a reason. Now, can they get into the playoffs? There's a legitimate scenario where New Orleans does get in. Handle your business against Atlanta. And, of course, the Rams, who are favored against San Francisco, win. But that's where I think it ends at that point, because you can't really hide in the playoffs, Kevin. You can hide and play teams like the Carolina Panthers last week and the Atlanta Falcons this week. You know, two teams dead in the water, not making the playoffs. Like, hey, we get a little bit of momentum here. But when you have to line up in the playoffs and your gadgetry is running out with Sean Payton and Taysom Hill on offense, what are you left with here? You can't just say, hey, I need my kid to step back here, Taysom Hill, and drop back 45 times this game and throw us to victory. He can't do that. So it's more of smoke and mirrors for New Orleans to get in, as opposed to saying, like, whoa. No, because is it one of those teams, Kevin, where you look and say, nobody wants to face this team if they can get into the playoffs? Because the Indianapolis Colts probably going to finish anywhere from, what, 6th seed or 7th seed in that range. But you're looking at them going, nobody really wants to play them, because when they're on their game, they're really tough to beat. Yeah. Is anybody looking at New Orleans making it into the playoffs, squeaking through, like, hey, that team's hot, we don't want to mess with them? No, because the offense isn't as explosive. Look, Alvin Kamara's a great running back. You have nothing at wide receiver, tight end, a banged-up offensive line, and a quarterback that's not known for throwing the football, or as I like to say, throwing you to victory. It's a big number, 55-1 for a reason. They can get in the playoffs, Kevin, but I don't think they do any damage at all.
I think the shame for the Saints, Donnie, is probably the fact that if they get in, it locks the Rams into the 2 seed as opposed to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I'm sure they'd love to actually play for some reason, and you know, because of all the way that they've dominated Brady and the Bucs. I will say, look, I have no grand ideas of, as you mentioned, Taysom Hill throwing anyone to victory. But the way that Matthew Stafford has played over the back end of this season, the world where it is 10-0 Saints, thanks to you know, pass interference, set up field goal, and a pick six off the arm of Matt Stafford, is not one that I think is impossible. And what I'm also curious, of course, of Donnie is, what does that Saints number look like if they get in? Is it cut in half? It, like, because right now, Donnie, the Eagles are 26-1. Do you know what I mean? Like, is that Saints number 30-1? If they get into the postseason? Because that then, you know, we talk about principal plays all the time, Donnie. And that's where those numbers start to intrigue a little bit. I think we can spin this over to the AFC side overall. 8 teams listed in the NFC, 10 teams listed in the AFC. Preposterous numbers posted for you right now on the Ravens and Steelers. The Baltimore Ravens at 130-1, and the Steelers are at 220-1. And I actually really appreciate that the Ravens have significantly better odds than the Steelers, despite needing significantly more help. But that's because they're like, well, if the Ravens can get in, maybe they do something. The Steelers will get in and be promptly obliterated by whomever they would be matched up by. But I think, Donnie, then I want to ask you, similar to what I just said about the Saints, the Vegas Raiders, 42-1. The problem for me in Vegas, they match up against the Kansas City Chiefs. I've seen that twice. And you can hit people with the, oh, hard to beat a team 3 times. Not sure if the first 2 were 40-point blowouts.
Yeah, oh, but they have no distractions now. That's all behind them. And Darren Waller is going to come back for the playoff run. Yeah, we've seen this play out quite a few times here. But also, let's remind ourselves, you're talking about some big numbers of teams that if they get into the playoffs, and they do, those numbers are going to drop significantly once they get in. And usually it's about, Kevin, in the past, you're not worried about injuries because you know who's going to be in the football game this coming weekend. But now, look at what you saw just from the Philadelphia Eagles here. If that's not a wake-up call to some of these teams where at any given moment in the playoffs here, in the heat of the winter, where Omicron virus is going wild across the United States, it can pop up. So you might have one of those teams, or let's just say for some fluke, the Baltimore, which is a great scenario you bring up, because the Baltimore Ravens get a little bit healthier in their secondary, Lamar Jackson comes back healthy, and they make the playoffs, and you're hanging some ridiculous price here, and then you see them go up against a top seed like Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes getting COVID on a Thursday and ruled out for the game on a Saturday or Sunday. Now you're working with some grease here in that situation, and you can't rule that out. So even though you're taking some of these ridiculously long numbers and prices, Kevin, you don't know who's actually going to be playing in that game this weekend. Because, hey, if the Baltimore Ravens get wiped out with COVID again, what do you want, Kevin? I took a flyer at 55-1 for them to win the AFC. It just didn't work out. But now you're saying to yourself, because, again, keep in mind with these huge numbers that you have that you're buying into on the futures wagers, it's not necessarily, Kevin, that they have to win the AFC. It's win me one game, and I can flip this line where I can make a profit throughout the rest of the playoff run by betting against the Ravens and still having that ticket in my pocket. There's a lot of ways to make money in the playoffs here.
And I think then, Donnie, it kind of transitions us a little bit to the Tennessee Titans, right? Where they're, if they beat the Texans, of course, this week, they're already into the second round, right? And there we heard, you know, the reports, Derrick Henry ramping up. If I were Mike Vrabel, I know I would get him a goal line carry. I know that's what I would do, and I'd get him to 11 touchdowns. I think that's very important. Let me just quick, Don, you know that Derrick Henry is like sixth in the NFL in rushing yards for this season? I mean, that just does not even make any sense there. I mean, I guess it speaks to the running back position, but it speaks to what Derrick Henry was on his way to do. But, Donnie, I look at the Titans right now, and I look at a plus 450 number, and I project out a little bit, right? So let's say the Titans handle their business here, and they clinch the number one seed. Already, that is a tremendous scenario. But let's also say, Donnie, the Kansas City Chiefs get the job done on Saturday. They're double-digit favorites. The Buffalo Bills get the job done. They are almost a three-touchdown favorite against the New York Jets. And the Cincinnati Bengals bench Joe Burrow in their final game of the regular season. Well, now, Donnie, not only are the Titans the number one seed with a bye, but options one and two in this market would play each other in the second round. They wouldn't have to worry about seeing the Chiefs and the Bills. They would see the Chiefs or the Bills maybe in the final round, and it would still be a home game. I continue to be drawn to that Titans plus 450 number, Donnie, if only because I'm not sure any number one seed can have a plus 450 number attached to them.
It's wild when you think about it here, because then let's try to break it down. Well, Kevin, the number one seed because, you know, COVID and injuries caught up to the Bills and Chiefs. But if they played this year, the Bills would have handled the Titans. Oh, no. The Titans handled the Bills. But, wait. You know, if the Chiefs actually played the Titans this year, Kevin, they would have. No. The Titans won that game. And also, you are right. You're getting one of those teams where you're trying to buy at a low position, which is what the Titans will be at a plus 450 to win the AFC. This is a team that's supposed to get healthier, Kevin, over the next couple weeks. This is a team that doesn't have the number one seed locked up just yet, but they have an easy opponent in week 18 they should pace and then go into the break and then play a home game where you're the only team rested in the AFC and get back your best player on your team in Derrick Henry. The upside on Tennessee is tremendous here, and everything is in their favor here, Kevin, to get to the Super Bowl. Why? As I said again, it's not as if you got pasted by Kansas City or Buffalo. You beat those two teams, and you beat those two teams in your building. Where is this game going to be played? In your building in Nashville. 450 seems like a very good price for the Tennessee Titans to win the AFC.
And it's not even, you know, the Eagles scenario where you're working off of a backup quarterback. Ryan Tannehill's there. Right? It's not like it's a scenario like, no one's healthy. No, everyone is supposed to be healthy for the Tennessee Titans. They just, and again, that's a number, Donnie, I think you could see trickle down as long as they handle their business against the Houston Texans and when the bracket gets set overall. We'll close out our number one right here on the early line next on Sportsbook.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. PRS, we're going through these NFL postseason matchups here. And if it all sits today, we've got some pretty good ones here. When you look at the current bracket that we're being handed, favorite matchup in the AFC, favorite matchup in the NFC?
I'm telling you, I forget about favorite matchup, Kevin. Just give me the AFC on a platter and let me devour this. Take a look at these projected games here. If the season were to end today, Los Angeles, which is the Chargers, at Kansas City, Indianapolis at Cincinnati, and New England at Buffalo. Absolutely tremendous stuff. If we look at the NFC, now look, we're Eagles fans here. The Eagles are in the playoffs. No stress in Week 18 whether or not they beat the Cowboys, they'll be in. But I have to tell you, I see the seedings right now. This Philadelphia Eagles projected to be the seventh seed right now, going up against the Rams in L.A. Don't know if I like that one as much. And who would have thought at this time, Kevin, the Eagles hoping to possibly play Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay instead? As a fan, that's actually the one I'm looking forward to, because one team's banged up while the other one is, ooh, that defensive line can do some damage here. But I love it. I can't wait for Wild Card Weekend. It's going to be great in 2 weeks.
I will say, I looked through a couple of these potential matchups. If the Pats play the Bills, I hope the weather is horrible. I mean, some of the worst weather that the sport has ever offered. And I hope in a playoff game, Bill Belichick tells his rookie quarterback, just so you know, you're not a real NFL player. Hand it to Damian again. And then hand it to Ramadre again. And I will say right now, Donnie, though, with the AFC, as you mentioned there, certainly the Eagles at the moment look like they could be playing the Rams. But then the way this all kind of matches up here, Donnie, the Eagles will then move into the sixth spot. Basically, if the Bucs win, the Eagles are going to be playing the Bucs. Yeah. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Yep. Look, I get it. It's Brady. I know. They played this year. 6-point game, close game. Birds had the football, chance to go make something happen special there. I don't know, Donnie. I know I wouldn't want to be playing the Red Hot Birds with a bye week basically banked in, and they had COVID force them into that situation. But actually, a touchdown dog this week. That's where we'll start. The early lines lead off the early line in hour number two next.
It's simple, really. Listen, win. Don't listen, lose. I mean, duh. This is the home of the winning edge. You're listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.